you a high performer, obsessed with growth, and looking for an edge? Welcome to Mind Body Peak Performance. Together, we'll discover underground secrets to unlocking the full potential of your mind, body, and spirit. We'll learn from some of the world's leading minds, from ancient wisdom to cutting-edge tools and everything in between. This is your host, Nick Urban. Enjoy the episode. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the show. Today's episode is a continuation of last week's interview with Dr. Thomas Levy. And in that previous episode, we talked about how vitamin C and antioxidants are crucial to staying healthy over the long term. And if you're like me, you may have realized that the state of your mouth determines the state of your entire body. But after we discussed abscessed teeth, stealth infections, root canals, and more, I have a feeling you'll be giving that a little more attention. So if you missed that one, I suggest you go back and give it a quick listen. On today's episode, we're focusing all about immune health and specifically the rapid virus recovery protocol, the things you can do to prevent yourself from getting sick. And if you do happen to come down with something, one of the cheapest, easiest, and most effective strategies that you can employ to bounce back as fast as possible. You'll notice that Dr. Levy and I jump right into our conversation. That's because we recorded both this week's episode and the previous one at the same time. And I figured it'd be a bit awkward to ask him the same warm-up questions twice in one call. Before we get started, as a reminder, you can find his work at peakenergy.com in the show notes to this episode at mindbodypeak.com/70. On to the episode.
In my book, Rapid Virus Recovery, I also, you know, you can give people my email address and I can give them complimentary downloads of four of these books and a bunch of these articles. But in the Rapid Virus Recovery book, we talk about chronic pathogen colonization. And that's some of the things that happen with COVID and other viruses. They coat your throat, but they coat it with biofilms. And you got to knock out the biofilm first. No known antibiotic. No known antibiotic goes through a biofilm. You got to strip off the biofilm first in order to kill the pathogens underneath. And that's what hydrogen peroxide nebulization does. That's what hydrogen peroxide gargling does, all of that. But unless you pay attention to your tongue, that's another big, strong contributor. Tongue scraping, all right? All these people, if you ever look at the anatomy of a tongue, I mean, it's deep and fissures and pits. You get an enormous amount of putrefaction in your tongue unless you specifically clean it too on a daily basis. Tongue scraping, and again, a little swish with hydrogen peroxide, and you're looking fine. And again, that's in the book, Rapid Virus Recovery, for people that want a little more detail.
Well, that's the perfect transition to now talk about rapid virus recovery and what it's important to have in the house so that you can recover from illnesses faster.
Well, interestingly enough, some colleagues, some friends of mine in Ghana, in Africa, over a fairly extended period of time, over the last year or so, in this article is published on the Ortho Molecular Medicine News Service, they saw the power of hydrogen peroxide in dealing with pathogens. And anyway, to make a long story short, they took fairly dilute hydrogen peroxide and just like daily, two or three drops of like 1% or 0.5% in the nares, okay? And then slightly more concentrated, swish in the mouth, gargle. And that regimen for, I believe, over 1,000 individuals gave 100% protection against contraction of COVID in the hospitals that they were working in. And they had a bunch of other people that didn't do it, and a significant percentage of them got sick. But this gave 100% in this group. I'm not going to say You do 100,000 people, it's going to be 100%. In this group of people, it was 100% protection. So certainly that's good and easy to do. It's good for general oral hygiene. In rapid virus recovery, I talk mostly about hydrogen peroxide nebulization. To do the same thing, prevention, which it will do, but also therapy. Now, the other manipulations with hydrogen peroxide will probably work very well for an early infection. But a friend of mine who had one of my nebulizers in Colombia, South America, actually had the opportunity to work with the poor people at her burial. I mean, they had nothing. I mean, they didn't have money for vitamin C, vitamin D, this, that, and the other, nothing. And she ran across, and she eventually over time saw 20 of them, and they all had COVID. And at the time, this was early on in the pandemic, significant shortness of breath. If you got COVID and significant shortness of breath, you're close to dead. I'm sorry, no way to sugarcoat it. Nebulized hydrogen peroxide, 3%, fairly long period of time, half an hour, three times a day. So 90 minutes of nebulization for 2 days, extended for a full 5 days. She cured 20 out of 20 with just the hydrogen peroxide nebulization. Now, I'm not advocating anybody do just that. I mean, if you've got vitamin C, take it. If you've got hydroxychloroquine, take it. If you've got ivermectin, take it. If you've got ozone, take it. But the point is so I would never be in a position to say, hey, let's just see if this gets you better and nothing else. But in the situation where nothing else was available, the peroxide nebulization alone did the trick. So again, the book goes into that. It goes into some of the more important supplements, vitamin C, vitamin D, magnesium, especially magnesium chloride. Magnesium chloride in particular is especially potent antiviral form of magnesium. Yes, yes. It's interesting, since you found that interesting. An old article when I was doing my research on magnesium from a magnesium book, they were looking at the effects of magnesium on viruses in culture. They found that adding magnesium sulfate encouraged virus growth. Adding magnesium chloride knocked it out.
Interesting.
So always when you supplement, think about both the anion and the cation. It's two different things, two separate things. And sometimes they're synergistic, sometimes they're not. You're still better off taking magnesium sulfate than nothing else because the magnesium is so important. But in the context of dealing with viral infections, I think it's best to go simple. They actually had a physician in France in the 1940s, about the same time the polio epidemic was hitting the United States. And just as Dr. Frederick Klenner cured 60 out of 60 cases of acute polio in babies and small children with injectable vitamin C, this fella, it's almost too amazing to believe, this fella cured about 15 cases of polio with just oral magnesium chloride. Mm-hmm. And quite dramatically and promptly so. And in a number of them that hadn't been treated for the first month or two of their infection that were already getting muscle weakness and paralysis in limbs, it resolved all or most of those symptoms as well. So magnesium chloride is powerful. It's not only obviously good for getting magnesium into your body. I mean, chloride is a very potent antipathogen entity. Well, maybe you might remember your mother or your grandmother when you're a kid. I do. You get a little sore throat? Well, you do. Gargle with salt water. Gargle with sodium chloride. Okay? So it's the chloride is important. Let's just put it that way.
And that's a really simple one, too.
Oh, very simple. Very cheap. Yeah. Very cheap. Not as cheap as hydrogen peroxide. Nothing as cheap as hydrogen peroxide. But yeah, I mean, good grief. When you figure out that nebulizing 5 cc's of 3% hydrogen peroxide could knock out an early case of a viral infection or an early case of COVID, as the case may be. And then you look at what Walmart charges for a quart of hydrogen peroxide. Oh, I mean, at the most, you're looking at 3 or 4 cents of treatment. So then people say, well, where are the studies? Say, who is going to study or sponsor a study on something that completely bankrupts things that cost many thousands of dollars? Do you seriously think in your wildest imagination that a pharmaceutical company is going to show the superiority of hydrogen peroxide over anything else that they do? No, they obviously not.
Yeah, that would definitely not be big pharma. That would be big hydrogen peroxide funding that one if it were to exist.
And it's interesting too. Now, I don't know what the public awareness was of hydrogen peroxide even before I started writing about it, but early on, just when the, I guess, you know, probably March of 2020, just really things just kicking in on COVID, almost overnight, three things disappeared from Walmart and stayed disappeared. Vitamin C, hydrogen peroxide, and toilet tissue. They all disappeared. I still don't know why the toilet tissue disappeared. I would have been stockpiling eggs, not toilet tissue. But anyway, probably the main, and I'm not saying it justified, so don't get me wrong, but the main benefit of the pandemic, in my opinion, has been twofold. It's brought vitamin C and inexpensive things like hydrogen peroxide to the fore for dealing with all infections. And number two, it's shown so much of humanity what an incredible fraud modern medicine is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know how many examples we have of hospitals forbidding doctors to use certain drugs. Politicians telling doctors by law they can't use certain drugs. Beam me up, Scotty. What the hell is happening here? And a lot of doctors, of course, just completely and totally embracing the party line, ignoring all straightforward clinical data on anti-COVID drugs. I mean, ivermectin, hydroxychloroquine, chloroquine, they are phenomenal medicines, phenomenally effective, phenomenally safe, phenomenally inexpensive. And I don't know, for me to see a doctor just go against something like that, I say he or she has no soul. And if they do have a soul, then they don't have a brain, one or the other. And they actually, nothing irritates me more than, and I understand with the politicians, but you don't get to justify it with the doctors. I don't understand how so many physicians who we hope are reasonably intelligent, who we hope are reasonably educated, just decide something is what they want to believe and they won't look at any literature to contradict that. And if the CDC or a government agency votes on an issue and says, this is what we should do, that vote completely trumps science forever. That's just wrong.
It's a sad state.
Yes.
I remember learning back in biology class, learning that hydrogen peroxide doesn't have antimicrobial effects. Like when you got a cut, I used to put it on the wound and that's what I learned. And then in biology class, they quote debunked that.
Wow. That's, it's arguably the most potent antipathogen agent in existence, or at least one of them, right along with ozone and ultraviolet light irradiation. No, it's incredibly potent. Well, I'll give you a few facts about hydrogen peroxide that are very interesting. Is, and of course, this happened with Trump early on when he actually talked about, oh, well, maybe you can inhale the substance. They say, oh, he's talking about inhaling bleach or blah, 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 blah. Oh, man, they jumped on that. Well, I don't remember what his exact words were, but he was pretty close to the truth when we're talking about extremely concentrated hydrogen peroxide has a bleaching effect. So you can call it a bleach. Mm. Not at the concentrations we're talking about, but okay. Yeah. Well, as it turns out, in the epithelial cells lining the lungs, those cells naturally secrete hydrogen peroxide into the airspace. So it's the body's natural mechanism to deal with every new pathogen you inhale around the clock. That's number one. Number two is the problem with any drug is toxicity. Well, not only does peroxide have no toxicity at the doses we're talking about, the other thing you worry about is metabolic side products. What does this break down into? Blah, blah, blah. Well, after the hydrogen peroxide kills the pathogen, two things are left: water and oxygen. Now, what are the two most important things to heal a tissue that has been damaged by infection that's now resolved? Water and oxygen. So hydrogen peroxide wipes out the bug and leaves in that immediate microenvironment the optimal situation for the tissue to heal. Up to 5% of the oxygen that you inhale on every breath is converted into hydrogen peroxide inside your body. It's one of the most common molecules in your body, right along with oxygen and water, okay? So what can I say? So many people, another funny thing too is when they start doing the experts. Well, experts said this. Well, I have an expert from Harvard that has 550 publications. Well, guess what? I have an expert from Ohio State that has just as many publications and says the exact opposite. Well, there's only one truth. Okay, so it's just so freaking meaningless when people try to make arguments by saying, well, this expert said this. Well, it's fine to listen to what the expert has to say, but not just to heed it because of its opinion, heed it because of the scientific information that's being presented. Okay, in other words, I don't care who you are. I'm not going to just believe you at face value and say, this is this. Now, on the other hand, if you say, well, we have this study, we did this, we conducted in this manner, and this is the result, it would be reasonable to conclude that, et cetera. So the old battle of the expert just means nothing.
Yes. I want your thoughts and opinions on melatonin. Do you think that's a powerful antioxidant that we should be taking, especially around illness?
Well, you know, I don't have a lot of therapeutic experience with melatonin. I mean, Dr. Frank Schallenberger in Nevada, have a high regard for, excellent clinician. He's seen some incredible effects of giving high-dose melatonin along with other things, I think, for his cancer patients, but I can't say for sure, for different medical conditions. But regardless, everything I've seen about it tells me it's an excellent agent. I take a sizable dose every night. I mean, gosh, and it's not the case with everybody, but for me, for probably 20 years now, it's been the perfect sleep inducer for me, okay? I take it and, you know, 20 minutes, 30 minutes later, I can't keep my eyes open. And then when I wake up in the morning, in 10 minutes, I'm wide awake, so there's no therapeutic hangover or anything like that. Now, again, I mean, when people don't sleep, there's a lot of different reasons. So one thing that helps somebody is not necessarily going to help someone else. But to make a long story short, I don't have a lot of experience with melatonin in a therapeutic fashion other than helping you with my sleep.
I don't know if you're familiar with Dr. John Laurence, but he has a book called The Melatonin Miracle, and he chronicles in it how it's one of the body's most powerful antioxidants along with glutathione, and it's also in the mitochondria, and it's what protects them from the oxidative damage as a result of creating energy.
Yeah, well, like I said earlier, is basically there's hardly anything that's inert. So nearly everything is either pro-oxidant nature or antioxidant nature, nutrient or toxin. Yeah. So one thing that's always, I don't know if it's by people who want to make a point, scientific point, or they just want to sell a product, is, let's say, for example, you talk about astaxanthin for the antioxidant for your eyes and everything like that. And they say, oh, this is whatever, 500 times more powerful antioxidant, vitamin C, blah, 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 blah. That's so unimportant. The thing that makes vitamin C is its ability to go everywhere. All right. The most potent antioxidant in the world does you no good if it doesn't accumulate where you need the antioxidant impact. And that's what vitamin C does. And also vitamin C contributes 2 electrons per molecule rather than 1. Traverses the membranes, goes across the same pathways as glucose, is accelerated in uptake by insulin, is high uptake in the brain. So it's very unimportant to me to start comparing on the OREC scale, you know, how potent an antioxidant is. It has to be, where does it go? Is it getting where you want it to go in a high enough concentration so that it can be chemically opposed to the molecule that needs reduction?
I'm curious more about hydrogen peroxide. We've talked about how you can use it in your mouth for resolving oral issues, improving oral health, and then topically on wounds to help them heal better without complications. And then you touched on its use as in nebulization. Can you explain nebulization, what that is, and how and why it's so powerful?
Yeah. Nebulization is basically you have a little chamber hooked up to an air pump, and the air forces a liquid to go through a fine enough opening to hit an opposing surface, and then that disperses it into a fine mist. So basically, nebulization is turning a liquid into an inhalable mist or smoke. And there could be different sizes of particles, and some will penetrate more deeply into the lungs than others, but it's designed, if with a full mass, to go into your nose and throat, a limited amount into your sinuses, and then on down into your lungs. So depending on what you deliver by the nebulization depends on determines what your results are. In the case of hydrogen peroxide, like I said, it's a natural substance that your body already makes a large amount of, but not in the concentrations that you need for the therapeutic effects that we see with nebulization. This is all in rapid virus recovery. But if you had a cold 5 years ago and you never took and got over it, clinically, obviously got over it, feel fine, but you never took a specific biooxidative antitherapy, like peroxide, like vitamin C, et cetera, you have chronic pathogen colonization in your nose and throat, okay, covered by a biofilm. And until you specifically eliminate that, and I'm talking about here hydrogen peroxide nebulization, but there's other combinations that can do it, DMSO, I think sodium bicarbonate, all of these things can have that effect. Until you eliminate it, you will continue, as the young people like to say, 24/7, you're going to be swallowing pathogens and toxins. Swallowing pathogens and toxins. Now, what is a leaky gut? A leaky gut is a gut that's inflamed. Inflamed due to what? Toxins. What are the toxins coming from? Most commonly, you're swallowing them. Also, when you swallow those pathogens and they finally die, you know what the pathogens are filled with? Reactive iron, the most pro-oxidant toxic substance on the planet. So all of these things keep your gut in a deranged situation. So when I first started working with peroxide nebulization, when I was working on my magnesium book well before the pandemic, just to start because I had a lot of sinus problems and I was working out until I finally did my first hydrogen peroxide nebulization one afternoon, about 67 years old at the time, 68, something like that. And the next morning, I had the most incredible, perfect, well-formed bowel movement of my life. I said, what on earth just happened? I mean, literally, nothing like that in my entire life. I mean, you know, I take a lot of vitamin C, so things stay a little loose, this, that, or the other. But I always wondered. I said, what does it take to have this? What does it take to have these type of bowel movements? I don't get it. And the thing is in your proximal gut, the leaky gut area, those cells turn over every 3 to 5 days. So every 3 to 5 days, you have a new gut lining. Okay, so when you talk about chronic leaky gut, no such thing as chronic leaky gut. What you have is a chronic acutely induced condition. Okay, big difference. And when that heals up, and then when you stop putting new passages down in the gut and you improve the microbiome, man, all sort of good stuff starts happening to your health. For many people, it's the primary source. For other people, it's a main contributing factor. But, and this is also in rapid virus recovery. I was thinking about calling it rapid gut recovery for a long time, but we were in the middle of the pandemic. I said, let's just focus on the virus recovery aspect, but it could have been called that. It's my opinion that all chronic diseases have chronic pathogen colonization in the affected tissue, which is why you can't get over them. You can't get over them because they're on site producing new pro-oxidant toxic stress more than you can compensate with your daily antioxidants. But, and this is in the book too, when you undergo a powerful bio-oxidative regimen, vitamin C, intravenous hydrogen peroxide correctly administered, and a few other things, and you can start knocking out those areas of chronic pathogen colonization and getting rid of the toxicity in the mouth, you can start seeing some of these major diseases, if not disappear, substantially reverse.
Yeah. Remind me what the protocol was. I used it when I got COVID and it worked phenomenally. I had acute symptoms for about 24 hours. And then after that, I had some nagging things here or there. The nebulizing hydrogen peroxide immediately made a difference. I felt better within 10 minutes of doing it. And I think it was like a certain proportion of water to a couple drops of diluted hydrogen peroxide. And then I added a drop of what's called Lugol solution. I don't know what your recommendations are there.
That's fine. I mean, there are many, many different things you could. It just turns out, well, if you go into too much detail in something you're promoting to the public, they'll just confuse and not do any of it. So, as the old expression goes, KISS, you know, keep it simple, stupid, which is, you know, just stick with the peroxide and it'll do just fine. Like I said before, DMSO. In combination with different things, even nebulizing vitamin C, nebulizing magnesium chloride, all of those things can be very good as well. But for the purposes of dealing with an acute infection, I don't think anything tops the peroxide, okay? And the iodine is fine, but I would not even want to do something like iodine chronically because what did I say about peroxide? It leaves behind water and oxygen. You know, what are the other these things leave behind? Well, you want to start getting in, I don't know, an accumulation of iodine where you don't want it to accumulate. I mean, it's just so I say keep it simple. So yeah, you a lot of people that followed the protocol, I mean, yeah, they got better shortly after they started it. And then of course I'm sure you paid attention to the other important supplements, you know, vitamin C, magnesium, the vitamin D, zinc, and the quercetin. You know, we talked about zinc getting inside the cells to inhibit viral replication and all that. All of those things are good.
Yeah, and you can get all of this very cheap. The nebulizer is like $50 or less for a decent desktop one. You want a desktop nebulizer, not a little handheld portable one because it's not strong enough. And then the hydrogen peroxide is also dirt cheap, a couple dollars. For many, many doses, you can help others with that as well. And is the concentration of the hydrogen peroxide and the dilution important?
Well, the more concentrated it is, not going above 3% or less, the more concentrated, the quicker you're going to get a definitive antipathogen effect. Okay, so like the cases in Colombia I told you about. They were getting 3%. And for a bunch of them, it like burned a little bit and stung a little bit. And my friend said, oh, we can dilute a little bit. And they said, no, I'm feeling better. I don't care. Mm-hmm. You know, so it's an individual type of thing. You know, some people can eat a hot pepper and others can't, you know. So you can't underestimate individual sensitivity. So I've said over and over and over again, take the highest concentration that you can comfortably nebulize. 3% or less, not above.
Yeah, yeah. And so if you're using 3% or less, you don't have to dilute it at all. You can just load the nebulizer with straight hydrogen peroxide, 3% or less.
And they talk about the food grade. The food grade is fine, except I have one problem with the food grade. Is it's hard to find, not impossible, to find 3% food grade. All the others are 10%, 15%, 35%. And there's too many people that just can't get out of their own way. They'll spill that 35% and burn their skin. They'll dilute it improperly. I mean, start at 3% and go down, okay? Don't be messing with how do I dilute 35% down to 3%. There's always going to be a lot of screw-ups doing it that way.
You flip on the nebulizer after you've loaded it. You inhale in through your mouth, out through your nose for, what, 15 minutes?
Depends on what you're doing it for. I mean, I tell Dennis, you know, I said, have one in your office. And after you've been staring at the mouths all day long and everything like that, just go by, turn it on, nebulize for 2 minutes, and that's it. You know, just a little... if you already got a scratchy throat or something, well, yeah, go for 15 minutes a couple times a day. All depends. It's just not etched in stone. Little common sense.
Dr. Levy, there's so many other topics I want to cover, but we're running low on time. So I guess one thing I want to cover before we start wrapping up is your protocol on how you go about restoring the sense of smell and taste after infection.
This is chronicled in a couple of articles I wrote, so I'll repeat. If somebody, you give them an email address, I'll happily give them some downloadable books and these articles that references in it and everything else. But to make a long story short, I had already run across some information telling me that cortisol pushes vitamin C into cells. Now, the ultimate goal, any goal of any therapy, is to get normal vitamin C levels inside your cells. If you've achieved that, you've achieved health and normalcy. Now, not easy to get there, but that's what you're shooting for. Well, when I got sick with COVID, I just came across the discovery, if you will, that, you know, taking several grams of vitamin C, some of the liposome that I talked about with Livon Labs, and 10, 15, 20 milligrams of cortisol, and man, things started happening really quick. And since I got over COVID, and this is discussed in the article too, my health has gone to a level it's never gone before because I realized that I was adrenally insufficient for a long period of time. And now I just do it on a regular basis and I don't get any problems of any type anymore. I mean, I would always get recurrent nose problems. Just, that's all gone. Even though I wrote about the nebulization, using this regimen of hydrocortisone with vitamin C, I haven't had to nebulize in 6 months either. Okay, I nebulized because I needed to, all right? I'd start to feel something come back. That doesn't happen anymore, and it's because the downside of this is cortisol requires a prescription. Okay, so that's a big downer, but more and more docs are finding out about this, so. And again, anybody that reads these articles and is interested, I say, you know, feel free to take them to your doc, you know, assuming you're seeing an integrative, open-minded doc. And that doc is welcome to email me as well and say, well, what about this? I have a bunch of docs around the country that are just getting phenomenal results using combinations of vitamin C and cortisol because, especially in older folks, what do? We lose our testosterone or estrogen. We lose our thyroid hormone. Well, guess what? We lose our cortisol too. You don't get increasingly age-related deficiencies of the sex hormones and thyroid and continue to make perfect levels of cortisol. No way. So most people, in my opinion, are adrenally sufficient, have adrenal fatigue, and would benefit enormously, enormously, by a small dose, most of the population, 5 milligrams, maybe 10, along with vitamin C once a day in the morning. And you don't get side effects when you're replacing a deficiency. So all the hoopla about long-term side effects on steroids, well, if you take 10 times the dose of testosterone you should be taking, you're going to get problems. If you take 10 times the dose of cortisol, you're going to get problems. And I'm just talking cortisol, not a synthetic steroid. Forget prednisone, decadron, methylprednisolone, all of those things. Not what we're talking about.
And the problem with doing this yourself at home and drinking coffee or something along those lines that stimulates cortisol is your body can't necessarily produce the cortisol.
Well, that, and the other thing too, and this is something I'm writing on as we speak, is cortisol's natural design is to be secreted at the same time your liver secretes vitamin C. But what are we not doing as human beings? Not making that vitamin C. So they're natural partners. They were designed that way. That's what happens when you have a true stress response, is at the same time, your liver floods vitamin C and your adrenals flood cortisol, because they need to work together.
All right. Well, last question before we wrap up, and that is, if there was a burning of the books and all knowledge on earth is gone, which three teachers or resources would you choose to keep and why?
Curing the incurable, death by calcium, and hidden epidemic. Okay. I mean, it emphasizes the value of vitamin C. It shows the toxicity of calcium and the fact that if you don't address your mouth, you are just spinning your wheels. And a lot of people don't, because they hate dentists, and dentists are expensive, and I understand both of that. But I'd like to say this, this might be something to put a bow on it, if you will, is, in my humble opinion, there's no more beneficial healthcare practitioner than the perfectly trained and operating biological dentist. On the flip side of that is, there's no healthcare practitioner on the planet that does more harm than the traditional mainstream dentist.
That's a good summary. And in this episodes, we've covered that all your health really begins in the mouth. And if you don't have a healthy mouth, over time, disease will manifest in some way or another. And there's a close linking there to vitamin C and other oxidation redox balance.
Right. That's correct. Yes, sir.
Well, thank you for that. It's been a pleasure chatting with you today. Thank you for your time, and keep up the good work.
All right. Very good, Dick. Take care, buddy. Thank you.
I'm Nick Urban, here with Dr. Levy, signing out from mindbodypeak.com. Have a great week and be an outlier. Thank you for tuning in to this episode. Head over to Apple Music, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts and leave a rating. Every review helps me bring you thought-provoking guests. As always, you can find the show notes for this one at mindbodypeak.com/episode. There, you can also chat with other peak performers or connect with me directly. The information depicted in this podcast is for information purposes only. Please consult your primary healthcare professional before making any lifestyle changes.